Blog Talk Radio.
Prepare for launch in 3, 2, 1.
Go.
This is a dangerous group that we're dealing with now.
Introducing.
Prepare for launch in 3, 2, 1.
Go.
This is a dangerous group that we're dealing with now.
Introducing the Dog Pound Daily Podcast with your hosts, Andrew Seitz.
I must be louder.
And site expert Steven Kibitza.
If it's a blowout, Monday's podcast is going to be a bummer. But if they win, it's going to be a party.
This DJ is so funky, man.
Okay, let's go.
We are here for the Dog Pound Daily Podcast. It is our midweek edition. I'm Steven Kibitza, and we are doing something a little different this time, doing the show live here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm joined by Andrew Seitz. Andrew, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can. Perfect. We have figured out the studio interface of Blog Talk Radio.
Only took us half a year to do it.
I know. In February, we're like, oh, we're going to have some big-time guests, Sashi Brown. But would you like to share where you're calling in from?
Live from the Hilton Garden Inn in Denver, Colorado, actually. So it's a balmy, I think, 58 degrees, and it's about 9:30 in the morning. So just getting ready to start off the day before we go drink some craft brews.
Oh, cool. I'm actually in Kent, Ohio, in my apartment that has bats. So we are similar. But let's move on to the Browns. This Sunday, 0-4 Browns take on the 2-2 New York Jets. Are you predicting a win for the Browns?
No, I'm not. I would love to, because I would love nothing more than the Browns to get this, you know, monkey off their back, because we, as we saw last year, you know, the longer you go winless, the more hopeless your team gets. You know, there's one thing that we wanted to see this year, which was just growth in the team overall and give us, you know, something to look forward to for next year. And so far they're not doing anything to provide that, but maybe with Myles Garrett coming back this week, we'll get a chance to see, you know, some semblance of hope, or, you know, an actual draft pick that turns out to be pretty good.
That's my view too. It's, you know, Myles Garrett's coming back, but it's kind of this wishful thinking of, well, you know, Josh McCown's not that good either, but I mean, he's led his team to 2 straight wins, and the Jets just wrote something on it. They're 7th this year in rushing yards, so it's not really just a McCown-focused offense.
No, so, he does his fair share, you know, trying to lose them the games as well by throwing interceptions. So it's not that he's, you know, lighting the world on fire, but they've got 2 wins when a lot of people thought they'd be 0-16, so you got to give him a little bit of credit.
Josh McCown has 2 wins this year. He only had 1 in 2 years with the Browns as a starter.
Yeah. And I, you know, the more I read, Kizer is very well prepared for his interviews. You know, he's very mature for being a 21-year-old quarterback. But I do think having even a guy like Brock Osweiler, just some sort of veteran presence in the locker room, would be something that he is missing out on. You know, just someone maybe to bounce questions off of, or the fact that they are 0-4. You know, Josh McCown's been through that before. So how do you get yourself up for a game each week when you continue to lose? You know, I think that's something that he's experiencing right now. And if we had maybe a veteran quarterback on the roster, could be something that, you know, helps his development as the season goes on.
Maybe even someone like a Joe Hayden, but we won't go there too much. But that kind of brings me to the next topic I really want to focus on, because, I mean, we could sit here and predict a game, and we've seen how that goes this season, get a little too optimistic. But I want to talk about Sashi Brown's latest comments, speaking at practice with all the reporters, just kind of saying, you know, we're obviously not happy with losing, but this is all part of the plan. And I do agree with his viewpoint. This was a longer plan, 3, 4, 5 year plan. But I mean, we've talked about it in weeks past. At what point do those words ring hollow? And at what point do you say, well, we know it's a plan, but if we're losing double digit games a year, like, how could we trust you?
Yeah, and the more I've had some time to just be away from it and kind of think about it a little bit more from a broad perspective, it is tough when you strip the roster down like that to expect a team to come back and win, you know, in year two while only drafting, yeah, you've drafted Myles Garrett and you have a guy that you think could be the quarterback in DeShone Kizer, but I think a lot of what we're looking at now is just kind of the growing pains that still need to happen, because it is going to get worse before it gets better. And I think they are building the team the right way. It's just still a matter of the talent evaluation that I think has people frustrated. But a team in the second year like this, I can't – we are hard on them from time to time, but you just see cases across the NFL that, you know, the Rams overturned it right away, you know. But that team didn't have to tear it down to the studs as far as the Browns did. So while I give Sashi a little bit of credit because they are in this second year, I think there is a little bit more desired in terms of the players that they have brought into the roster that are not necessarily producing at this point.
Yeah, I see it as kind of, it just depends on what type of fan you are. I think that depends on how you look at it. It depends if, you know, because ultimately we are all tied together with what Sashi Brown is doing. The success of the team relies upon his decisions. But it's easy to say, oh, you know, he stinks, we should just get rid of him. But if you have that viewpoint, I mean, it's what they've been doing for almost 20 years. But then there's the other viewpoint of kind of what I have at times, and what I mean, kind of what you just described of the, you know, we have to be patient, but that frustrates the other side because they're like, well, I've been a Browns fan, and we're also younger too. So we have the benefit of, oh, things could turn around. I can't make these arguments with older Browns fans because they're like, no, it's not going to. And you say, oh, that's pessimistic, but it's kind of, it's hard to blame them for that mindset. I can see why people are saying this is just the same old, you know, talk and nothing's going to change.
Yeah, I think that was my sentiment last week when we did the after the game reaction. You know, it's just so frustrating because we've never seen, I mean, we've seen two winning seasons since we've essentially been Browns fans.
And the first one was like, we saw it, but we weren't really.
Yeah, you know, and even then, you know, I think that was kind of right when I had started watching football. So there's really just no, like nothing to, no baseline for us to even judge what a team, like a competitive team is, because we saw that 2007 season, but then they came in 2008 and laid another egg. So it's like we look at all these teams in the NFL that have been able to build these and we try to emulate that, but we just can't seem to find players, you know. And I think having Sashi Brown around for a third and fourth year, I know I gave him a lot of crap last week, but I think you just have to at this point. Or at least keeping Hugh Jackson, the coaching staff, around, because I think that is part of the reason why they truly have never been able to turn it around.
Yeah, I don't think they have to go full Blake Bortles and leave him out there until he literally crashes and burns. But I do think that you have to give this process at least 3 years. You can't just say 2 years. And that's what Jimmy Haslam's done, though. That's why everyone's kind of scared. It's been you know, 1 year Trzynski out or 2 years and out. And it's like, man, you're not going to get anything done that way. So that's kind of the hope that he will stick with this for at least 3 years.
Yeah. And I would think if I were a betting man this offseason, I would go ahead and put money on the Browns going after some I would say more skill position related players in free agency and maybe even a little bit more veteran presence. I'm not saying, you know, they're going to go get like the Carlos Dansby, Dante Whitner veterans that are past their prime. But I would think they would go after, you know, being the youngest team in the league, I think they have to get some veteran players on that team that just know how to close out games. I think that's a huge, or at least start games for this team, because their second quarters have been absolutely miserable. I think bringing in more rookies doesn't necessarily help you. I think they have to balance it out next year with some veteran players once they've established who they're building blocks are on both sides of the ball.
To that point, Sashi Brown in his interviews did say, you know, ultimately we're going to be a team that focuses on building through the draft. So hopefully that means at least a few veterans. And like you said, it doesn't have to be super old players who are way past their prime, but just someone who at least has like his beyond their rookie contract.
Yeah, I think he's right on. I mean, they definitely should build through the draft, because we've seen time and time again, these teams go out And I mean, the Browns are a perfect example. You know, you go out and spend all this money in free agency and it could equate to nothing. And then you're stuck with all these bloated contracts. The good thing for the Browns is that they spent that money on offensive line, which is only going to get, it's only going to get better. You know, it's not something until Joe Thomas retires. It's not something that's really going to be an issue in terms of having talent there. So as long as they stay healthy, that's where that money's tied up. It's when you make the decisions like Kenny Britt, where that just calls into question your talent evaluation as a whole, because he has done absolutely nothing this year when last year with the Rams, he was at least a decent receiver.
Yeah, there has to be, and some of that is luck, but I mean, you sign a guy to a 4-year deal with that $10.5 million signing bonus. You can't miss on those. You have to at least give those to players who are, I mean, Kenny Britt was decent, but it was on a bad team.
Well, if a guy like Le'Veon Bell hits free agency, which I doubt Pittsburgh would let him hit free agency, but I mean, that's, I think, a perfect opportunity for the Browns to just throw money at him. That's, I understand he's got off the field issues, but what other way would you get people excited for a season than bringing in a running back that can handle a 30 to 40 carry or like targets and running or rushes combined? You know, this guy can handle a full load and would be an absolutely perfect complement to a rookie quarterback. That's something I'm keeping my eye on headed towards the off season. I just don't know free agency wise what receivers we would even be able to look at that would make this, you know, a comp something that a rookie quarterback would be able to utilize. Because
I agree. Kind of shifting back towards the game this Sunday on that topic. I mean, the Browns might have another new wide receiver in the rotation. They did sign Bryce Treggs off the Eagles practice squad. And Sammy Coates is also expected to maybe play. Is there any hope that this current group will turn things around? Because to be fair, we're judging it off 4 games, which, I mean, should be enough to really get a firm grasp. But do you see anyone in this group stepping up this Sunday now that Corey Coleman is out and Jordan Leslie is out?
I mean, right now the answer is no, because I haven't seen it yet. I saw it from Rashard Higgins in one game, but that was a lot of garbage time. And yeah, he looked good, but then he came out and flopped again the next week. So I think with Bryce Treggs coming in, it's a guy that Hugh Jackson's had experience with in the past. They brought Ronnell Hall back on the practice squad. I'm curious to see if he'll be active, but another guy that the offensive staff liked during the preseason that was eventually let go. So at least Sashi Brown is considering the opinions of the coaching staff. That being said, I think DeValve and Njoku are the ones that are going to have to step up to take over some of the bulk of the wide receiver targets that the wide receivers are getting, because they're the guys that are going to be able to get open. You know, Njoku's got the speed and athleticism to do it. I just think Kaiser's got to be looking for those guys, and they've got to run more plays utilizing those guys, because the wide receivers just can't get it done.
Yeah, it's going to be those two and Duke Johnson and maybe even Isaiah Crowell, because – I always laugh when I see a roster move and it's, you know, we're very excited about Bryce Treggs, a player the Eagles, they wanted to pay him. They wanted to, I think, pay him more than what the Browns did, but keep him on the practice squad. He said, no, I want to play. I was like, bold strategy. You could have made the same amount of money and, you know, kept your health. But, I mean, these guys, that's what they love to do and they want to play. But you see it and it's like, oh, well, he's a, you know, small, shifty slot receiver, and it's, I mean, if he was on their practice squad, is he someone we should be getting excited about? Or is this just another situation where he comes in and pulls a Sammy Coates and doesn't really play? Or, I mean, obviously we have to wait to see, but it's tough to get excited.
I mean, it's the same thing. It's a guy that, you know, he's not going to be your number one receiver. Any guy that they find at this point is not going to be a guy that you can count on for 8 catches, 80 yards, and a touchdown, or like even something that Corey Coleman, like, it kind of looks like when he's healthy. There's no guy that one team is going to have on their practice squad. Like, if he has potential to be a number one receiver right now, he's not going to be out there to get for the Browns for free. With that being said, if they can find ways to get him in space, which is something that the receivers have been unable to do also alongside with catching the ball. I don't know if it's a play calling thing, but Hugh Jackson just doesn't seem to be getting receivers open in space. We've seen it with tight ends. You know, DeValve has run those crossing routes. I think in that Baltimore game, they did have a lot of offensive pass interference. Was that Baltimore or was that Indy? They had all those pass interference.
The ones called against the Browns.
Yeah, they all blend together at this point. But either way, I mean, they're just not.
I believe it was Indy because Hugh Jackson was upset.
Yeah. But you see with this DeValve and Njoku that they run those crossing routes for those, you know, and it gets people open. And so I think there's just got to be some sort of route that you can utilize these guys in space because you're not, like you said, you're getting a small, speedy slot receiver that in 2 years might be a great complement to DeShone Kizer and whatever wide receivers come in here. But at this point, you just got to be able to coach the talent you have, and that's not sending them all on go routes down the field.
Which is Sammy Coates' specialty. So maybe we'll see some of that this Sunday if his legs heal up and he can actually do something. Yeah, I mean, I agree with what you're saying, especially with it. You just have to coach the talent you have. But, man, I think with each week you're going to hear Sashi Brown say, you know, this is our plan. Because Sashi Brown's not coaching the team ultimately. He can go to Jimmy Haslam and say, we're building this our way. If you want to get a new coach, that's fine. But Hugh Jackson is down there. Like, man, these guys just aren't that good. And I have to come out every week in the media and talk about why, you know, our defenders are running past the offense and missing tackles, why our receivers are dropping passes. It's just, it's got to weigh heavy. And I think if they lose this week, which is the final stretch of when I originally said they would be 3-2, it's going to be, losses might start piling up pretty fast with really no hope of a win. And I don't know how that's going to affect Hugh Jackson, especially after last season.
You know, the more I look at it, I think Hugh Jackson is, and this is the first time I've ever called a Browns coach safe, but I think Hugh Jackson just has more credibility with building or coaching a team than Sashi Brown does running a front office. I mean, what does Paul DePodesta do? What does Andrew Berry do? I mean, these guys, they drafted Myles Garrett. Whoop-de-doo. Everyone and their mother would have drafted Myles Garrett. You know, they traded out of 12 and let go of Deshaun Watson and Malik Hooker, who Malik Hooker has been balling out the last 3 weeks, 3 picks in 4 games, you know. He's doing exactly what Jabril Peppers is doing. You know, Malik Hooker was that center fielder at Ohio State, and that's what they have Jabril Peppers doing. So it's a little bit puzzling as to why, yeah, you want a first-round pick, but why pass up on the talent that's there? I just think there's a lot more question marks around Sashi Brown and his talent evaluation than there are with Hugh Jackson and his coaching ability, because given the players that he's had, it's not surprising that he's 1-19.
Yeah, it's completely understandable. And it's weird that you can look at a coach for a team that's doing so bad and say, man, this is not his fault at all, because he has made a few clock management problems or bad play calls at times, but he hasn't really done anything where he's warranted a reputation like an Andy Reid for being just miserable at managing the clock, or other coaches who just make bonehead plays, or even our favorite coach, Pat Shurmur, for all his wonderful mistakes. Hugh Jackson is just, I think the thing that we'll remember most about Hugh Jackson when we're older and reminiscing on this period of horrible Browns football is just him on the sideline shaking his head. Like a disappointed father, because he knows, he's like, what can I do when our $32 million man turns around, falls on a route, and then drops a pass?
And then has it go off his chest into the other team's hands. You know, you can't write this. You can't make this stuff up for the Browns. And it's been so frustrating to watch, because they finally got into the red zone after being down 7-0. And it's like they build your hope up on these drives, and then it just gets taken away so quickly. And it's just like, how can this continue to happen? You know, it's 4 weeks into the season and we're seeing the same freaking game week in and week out with just these mental errors and these dumb penalties and inability to execute the basic parameters of your job. And if you're Hugh Jackson, I mean, you can't, like, how are you going to coach a wide receiver to catch the ball more so than he already, like, he knows that's what he has to do. It's not, like, he's not Kenny Britt's. Well, maybe he might be, but Kenny Britt's not like, oh, shit, you know, I'm supposed to catch the ball. Like, he knows that's what his job is, and I think it's part of it might be on DeShone Kizer for putting it in there too fast or in the wrong spot, but they just have no help, and Hugh Jackson has no help. And, you know, it's only going to get worse until they find some receivers on the outside to take the pressure off of Kizer, I guess.
Yeah, it's not like Kenny Britt, like, is dogging it or not trying. It's just that's the player he is. A lot of people say, like, oh, he's, you know, doing it on purpose or whatever. It's like, no, I mean, he's not. No one wants to go out there and drop passes and then have a ball tip up in the air and get speared on a free play. But
that's what separates good players from bad players. I mean, the bad players are the ones that can't execute that. And it's a testament, again, to Sashi Brown's. We've talked about it before, that 2016 draft. That I think, was a front office draft more so than that didn't have necessarily Hugh Jackson's influence versus this year. I think they took Hugh Jackson's influence quite a bit. And even looking past the top three picks in the first round and DeShone Kizer, like, what have we really seen from any of the picks? You know, Zane Gonzalez missed a field goal. Ogunjobi's barely on the field. I think Caleb Brantley had a sack yesterday, but it was almost like a broken play by the offensive line. Yeah, I'm just not seeing even supplementary talent from any of the guys that have been drafted in the last 2 years, to be honest.
No, I agree. We bring it up every week. It's the same old stuff. But moving on really quickly, just because I want to get to a few things before we have to wrap it up here. I want to move to some NFL picks because it is our midweek show. Do you have your picks, lock and underdog, ready to go?
I do.
Or should I go first?
Yeah, go ahead and start with yours. I'm pulling up my CBS app right now to see.
All
what
right. So yeah, I have mine up. I have a lot. This week is the first week of games where there's like 10 toss-up games. There's a matchup of two 0-4 teams, Chargers and Giants. Derek Carr is out. There's a lot of games that are kind of up in the air. My lock is going to be the Steelers over the Jags. Steelers are at home. The Jags, even if they try to give you hope, they stink. Blake Bortles is awful. So I'm going to go with the Steelers as much as it pains me. And my upset, you're going to like this one, is Mitchell Trubisky and the Bears over the Vikings on Monday Night Football. The Bears are at home, but with the fact that Trubisky's starting, it kind of is a favorite game, or the Vikings come in as favorites. But, man, I think Mitch is going to light it up, and Chicago's going to go crazy. You're going to see a lot of number 10 jerseys, not only there, but in our hometown of Mentor, Ohio. There's going to be a lot of Bears backers.
Yeah, and it's going to be frustrating to watch yet another quarterback light it up because – you know, Deshaun Watson's killing it. Jared Goff's killing it. Carson Wentz is killing it. You know, all these
Goff,
quarterbacks
Wentz,
that the Browns
are my favorite.
And now all of a sudden the Browns are sitting here with all these stabs at a quarterback that they missed on, and we don't even think – we may not even have one for our team. So, my lock – yeah, I think I may go the opposite, honestly, with my lock and say take Minnesota over the Bears.
Ooh.
I think the Bears, even with Mitchell Trubisky, I think they're just too devoid of talent on the offensive side of the ball. They do have weapons, but I believe when he was playing in the preseason, he had Cameron Meredith, and I forget who the other receiver there was, but he's also down with injury. Minnesota's pretty good against the run, and that's what they're going to have to lean on with Mitchell back there, because Mike Glennon hasn't necessarily done that bad of a job. You know, he had a couple drop passes. He would have won that game against Atlanta. But I think it is time to turn to Mitch, and he's going to have a good game, but I think it's just a little too much to handle with that Minnesota defense on Monday night.
Yeah, he kind of got a bad rap. They should have won that first game, and then he had to go up on Thursday night, which half the time Thursday night's a total crapshoot game. You guys might have guys hurt, and the quarterback's not going to be able to prepare as much. But what is your upset pick?
I'm going to take Seattle on the road against St. Louis, or LA, the LA Rams. I know I picked the Rams last week to upset Dallas, and that was right, and I'm on the Sean McVay hype train. I just think that the Seattle defense is pretty good this year, and it'll be interesting to see how Jared Goff responds. You know, I don't know if he's played the best defenses so far this year. I think Dallas has a pretty beat-up secondary, and But Todd Gurley's running the ball well, so if Seattle's able to contain him, I think Russell Wilson's playing well enough for them to squeak out a victory.
It's interesting because I think we're so, like, there's just this recency bias of, oh, like, we think of the Seahawks from the past and how good they've been, and not the distant past, like the past few years, and it's, oh, well, the Rams can't beat them, but if the Rams do win this week, then we'll probably start picking the Rams way more often because they'll prove they're the real deal and not just, you know, lucky or what? Just a few good games. And wrapping it up here, finish your thoughts, sir.
I mean, the Rams, they're just that team where you're like, you're right on the fence. You're like, man, I could see them. Like, I can see the potential there, but I'm just not, you're not sold yet. You know, but the fact that they're 3-1 is just a testament to what a coaching staff, you know, coaching around a quarterback can do, because or a front office going out and getting talent for their quarterback. They went out and got Robert Woods, Sammy Watkins, they had Todd Gurley. I mean, you look at the Browns and you want to emulate the Oakland Raiders model, but I think we need to take a look at the St. Louis Rams as something we need to do to supplement a rookie quarterback.
The Los Angeles Rams.
Oh, I keep saying that. I'm
burning the heart of St. Louis fans. But it's okay. I see on ESPN still saying the San Diego Chargers. I'm like, ooh. The team without a home, basically, because everyone in their stadiums are away fans.
Yeah, and I think that's it's a preemptive foreshadowing because they're going to end up back in San Diego. So, well, what's your I'm curious to hear what your prediction for the Browns game is.
I'm going to go with Josh McCown of the Jets picking up a win. I'm going to say it's close, though. I'm going to say 24-20. The Browns are in it at the end, but Jets are going to run all over him. I think Myles Garrett will play well, but he still won't be this full level of explosiveness. Are you going to shift and say the Browns are winning with your prediction?
No. I'm happy to watch Myles Garrett play. That's the only only reason why I'm going to tune in this week. I think still having Jamie Collins out, still out without Danny Shelton, still on the offensive side, no Corey Coleman. It's just a tough way. Like you said, you think the Jets are going to run all over them, and I have no rebuttal to say that they won't. You know, Jamie Collins is a huge piece to be out on the defensive side, and I think that's part of the reason why, you know, they've been getting blown out in these second quarters. They just don't have that athletic freak to do anything. Joe Schobert's largely disappeared through the first four games. I think it's going to be 16-10, 16-13.
Wow.
You know, not a high scoring game. Kind of boring to watch. I think the Browns are going to need to force turnovers from Josh McCown, and if they are going to win on Sunday, which I hope they do, I think they're going to need to force some turnovers from Josh McCown, because that's the only way they're going to move the ball, I think, given the lack of wide receivers.
These anti-Browns predictions eventually have to pay off with a big Browns win. Or at least we hope.
Well,
because
it's almost like
I hate picking them to lose every week.
Well, that's the thing. It's if you pick them to lose on here, I mean, if we get it right, we get it right. I mean, that's good for our standings. But if they end up winning, you know, that's good too. I'd rather take.
Oh yeah, it's way better.
That's not why I pick against the Browns. I think I just don't think they've shown me anything so far that gives me a reason why they should be favored in any game moving forward.
No, exactly, until they pick up a win. But that is going to be it for us. Andrew has to go enjoy Colorado. Us here in Cleveland have to enjoy the Indians game tonight. And the Indians also play Sunday night,
right?
So
I got my Lindor jersey on right now in Colorado, so I'm repping Go Tribe. Go Tribe.
Exactly. And thank you for tuning in to our first live show. Hopefully sounds just as good as the other ones. It was very fun. We're going to have some guests on soon. We figured it out after 6 months or even 8 months, I think, but we'll just stick with six to make it sound a little shorter.
Well,
be sure to subscribe on iTunes. Please leave us a positive review. If you have a negative review, just tweet at us. That's fine. At Dog Pound Daily, at Andrew_Siped, and at Stephen Kibitza. Those are all in the posts accompanying this podcast. And as always, thank you for listening.